Today on It's So Bad, we play one of the best Nintendo Entertainment System games of all time. The action platformer, Mega Man 2, on It's So Bad. Joe, it's your first podcast here with us.
And sure is.
You join us as a veteran of the video games.
Been playing for a little bit now.
And Luke, you are a veteran of the podcast. This is your second one.
It is.
You were on the Hotline Miami podcast.
Yep, something a little more modern, but with dues to pay to Mega Man, I'd say.
Dues to pay to Mega Man. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
I would say more Metal Gear, maybe, but I have no fucking clue of what I'm doing or where we are or who we are as human beings. But we are on this podcast, It's So Bad. You can follow us on the Twitter at It's So Bad Pod and also subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. We are up there for you and we're doing this podcast for you. But Joe, what have you been playing recently? What's been on your gaming devices?
Ooh, well, I dipped a toe into Subnautica, you know, so I've been trying to figure that one out of recent. Seems like it's a big hit amongst the groups.
Dipped a toe.
Dipped a toe. Yeah, you get that?
I get it.
Waka waka.
Yeah, also been 100%ing Wolfenstein, a New Order.
So, 100%ing? Platinuming it?
Yeah. So I'm on my second run through. My first one went pretty good, so I'm just trying to clear it out one last shot so I could forget about it.
Did you play the New Colossus yet?
No, I'm waiting to finish this one completely and then move on.
So I really like the story in both those games because they're just fucking ridiculous and over the top and fucking killing Nazis is rad.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't like the gameplay in the New Colossus. It was, like, too stealthy.
Yeah, I'm a stealth player in that game. So, a lot of knife throws.
Is that Wolfenstein 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Saw that in a package with something the other day.
You also said that you were playing Earthbound.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. So I'm just trying to rally through that real quick.
Real quick, 40, 50 hours?
Yeah. I got up to Foreside about like 5 years ago. Put a little bit of time into that and just came back to it. So.
You playing on your 3DS?
No, I'm actually playing on the Wii U.
Oh, okay, cool.
Works out nice because I can, detach from the TV, hit the couch, you know?
Yeah, I actually just started Undertale, which is supposedly really heavily Earthbound inspired. I've never played Earthbound, so I would not know. But the Undertale is fucking rad. It's a really cool game.
Man. You've never played Earthbound?
That's surprising.
Never played That's Earthbound. Surprising.
Yeah.
Did you start over or use your save file?
It took me 45 minutes to figure out what part of the Foreside mission I was at.
All right.
Yeah, and then I just took off from there. But gotcha. I just got the Sword of Kings for Poe, which I had to grind for like 45-50 minutes, get some Super Starman down.
Worth it.
Yeah, it was totally worth it. Phillip's pretty good.
I've been slowly over the course of the past few years working my way through Super Nintendo RPGs, like the top ones. So over the course of the past like 2 years, I've played Chrono Trigger for the first time, played Final Fantasy IV, which is Final Fantasy II here, and then Final Fantasy VI, which was Final Fantasy III here. And so those are like the top three, and then Earthbound would make four. And I'm trying to think, like, I haven't played Secret of Mana either, and I kind of want to play that game. That's another action RPG.
I remember I like dabbled a little bit, but a friend had it, so mostly watched.
Dibble dabbled?
I was a watcher.
You were a watcher. I was I was a watcher in college. We have this thing. Yeah,
that's a lost art.
Yeah.
I watched you once, Mike.
Yeah, I watched you once. A couple times. We watched a lot of video games together.
I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, well, damn it. Oh, you watched me twice, I think. Weird. But yeah, so about that. So, Luke, what have you been playing?
So, my balls are usually deep in Binding of Isaac.
Still, still to this day,
I can't pull them out.
How many?
But,
do you know how many hours you've put?
No, because I know I had a lot on Steam, but I have a lot more on PlayStation. But the last X amount of hours that I've played, which is in double digits, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, very cool.
Patient gamer. Yeah, dude, that game is awesome.
The game's pretty cool.
I really like it so far. I'm pretty fresh. I'm like level 10.
Okay.
But
I just beat that like a month ago.
I saw you're like one of two or three friends on PlayStation Network, so
yeah.
I see what you're up to.
Yeah, it's I like that game a lot, and I did like almost I did all the big side missions because there's like I think two or three like big side quests.
Yeah.
I did all those, and I did a lot of the side quests. Really like that game.
I love that shit, like side quests, and it hasn't gotten stale by any means. Did you guys ever play Mad Max? Do you have a PlayStation?
I do.
Did you guys play Mad Max?
No.
It was a free game a little while ago. That game was really fun for like the first 30%, and then you get way too overpowered, and it's really repetitive.
Yeah.
Like Zero Dawn doesn't feel like that. It feels like it's gonna stay pretty fresh.
I like the story in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, story helps.
Yeah, and plus I like the variety of bad guys. So the whole deal with that, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, Joe.
No, I haven't.
But you have a bow and arrow as your primary means of how you dispatch enemies. And all the enemies are made up of like 100 different parts. And depending on where you hit them with the bow and arrow, it causes different damage. Nice. And you can scan them and find their weakness. And when you hit their weakness, it does a lot more damage. And you can go into like bullet time, and so you can line up a shot really coolly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty dope.
I just got the corruption ability, so you can like turn the machines to your side.
You can sneak up on them and like take them over and make them, if they're in like a pack, make one of them fight everybody else.
This is one giant enemy.
Yeah, you could do that. Well, see, they're usually smaller, but yeah. So it's a pretty dope game. Some of the, it gets hard. There's like invisible machines that are like incredibly difficult, but it's not super hard. It's not as hard as the game that we're talking about today.
Oh yeah, that one seems pretty highly regarded. I've been hearing that name kick around for a little bit.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, before we get into the game though, Joe, you are something special. Tell me about your status in Rocket League.
Oh, Rocket League. Yeah, that's the one I failed to mention. That's just my go-to banger right there. Right now I'm diamond three. I don't know, what do you call it, like diamond three, series three or whatever. I don't know, I don't play for skins, I just play for the love of the game. These kids get so mad, it's hilarious.
I like so at one point you were like a top 500 player in the world or something like that.
Yeah, I need to get that list, you know, so I need to get to some champion one, you know.
Crazy.
I know.
How many people play that game?
Like 100,000.
I don't know. I think I'm top 3.5%, you know, okay. But I need some like list recognition here, and then I could finally stop playing.
Yeah, well,
I'll just retire it.
I can't play multiplayer games anymore because there's a baby. Babies are like, you know, hey, dad, you can't play with other people. You have to just play stuff that you can pause, because baby will cry, and baby will ask for things, and baby rules life. But yes. That happens.
Do you think he's going to be a multiplayer enthusiast?
I don't think he's going to like video games at all, because I like video games too much. So he's going to be like,
rebel.
Yeah, like Michael J. Fox and Family Ties.
Do you think that's actually going to happen, though?
No, he'll like, video
games video are
games.
Fucking rad, man.
Like, kind of the best.
Yeah,
he will like video games.
I guess dad's kind of cool. He's got way too many books, nerd, but he's got a lot of video games too. So.
But yeah, so let's talk about our main event today. We are talking about the video game known as Mega Man 2. Yeah, so let's talk about this.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Mega Man 2.
Here.
Did you bring a prop again?
No, I wish. I actually have a Mega Man 2, not Mega Man 2, Mega Man figure with which I guess is like Heat Man armor.
Oh, the Zippo lighter.
Zippo lighter?
Yeah, Heat Man is basically a Zippo lighter.
But no, like when he gets hit, Heat Man's ability.
Oh, okay.
And he has like the white on red.
Yeah, the Calgary Flames outfit.
Yeah, pretty much. But I totally left that at work. But here in lieu of the new year, and the podcast here is a trinket.
Oh, very nice. A Space Invaders trinket.
Yeah, it's Space Invaders trinket.
I like it.
Your kid could chew on it.
Yeah, he'll swallow it and eat it somehow.
Look how big it is.
He'll be
He's
like,
not ready for that.
And then his body will make the pew, pew, pew noise after he swallows it. But yes, so we're talking about Mega Man here. Mega Man, what is your guys' history with this game? What have you guys done? What have you guys played?
Game or franchise?
Franchise, game, both.
All right.
Luke?
So, I had Mega Man 4.
That's a weird one to have. Just have Mega Man 4.
I think that was the first one with the charge, though.
Strange. Maybe. I think the 3 was the first one with the dash, the
dash,
slide.
Slide, yeah. And then I think 4 was the first one with the charge.
I don't have 4. I have 1, 2, 3.
But so I had 4. It was like a birthday present or something. But I got a Nintendo when I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
88, 89, 90. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But that was one of only a handful of games that I had. But cousins had 1 and 2, so I played the shit out of those on certain events, like when meeting with family and stuff. And it's like, well, I'm with all my family, but there's also Mega Man, so
right,
I'll be playing Mega Man. And then I guess a bit further down the line, got pretty deep into 10 or X, and then, were the ones that
X
came out?
X is not 10. X is X.
X is X. Excuse me. But what were the two that came out for Wii?
9 and 10.
9 and 10. Yeah. Yes. And I got really, really deep into those. I played the shit out of those games. So like 5 of the main franchise and then X.
Cool. So you have a history with it growing up. See, I didn't, I had, the first one I got was Mega Man X for Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, I never had a Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, you've said this, Genesis.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when Mega Man X came out, it was super expensive. It was like all games back then, and all games haven't really changed price. They've been like $50, $60 always in my lifetime. But Mega Man X, I think, was $80 when it came out. It was ridiculously expensive, and I remember that. It was either $80 or $70. It was just way more expensive than any other game because I remember going to Toys R Us, picking up the slip, giving it to my mom, and she bought it for me. I think it was for my birthday or something. But those were the days.
Money was no object for little Mike Merolda.
Yeah, that's right.
What else did you get with the game at that
upper
price?
Middle class living right here, baby.
Yeah. What kind of DLC did that come with?
I think it just had like a special chip in it or something, and that made it more expensive, because some Super Nintendo games were more expensive because they had more chips in them. But Joe, what's your history with the franchise?
So my earliest video game memory is having an NES, and I had about, I think, 15 games that I don't know if it came as like a starter pack or whatever, but I just woke up and then all of a sudden there's an NES and then 15 games.
Fell off the truck.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I think my dad thought it would be fun and then realized he might not be good at video games. So I kind of took it over, but that was one of my favorite ones since I've been a kid, was Mega Man 2 was my first exposure to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it was really kind of the music, because me and my brothers used to just put it on and just jam to it.
It's got good music. Really
good
music.
Absolutely. I don't think any other game at the time kind of had those physics.
Yeah.
Where you go from a short hop to in the water level. It's just so much changing. It was that and Super Mario Brothers, were my two.
Yeah. Did you play any of the other ones as you grew older?
I played X.
Okay.
I played 1 and 3. Right. And those all came later, like literally until the last 5 years, kind of when Wii came out and started. I never had a Super Nintendo. I went from that to Sega Genesis and then
I feel you, bro.
Sega Saturn. Yeah. I know. I had to
go
to a friend's
you
place.
Guys
Sega
were...
Saturn.
Sega Saturn, yes. Man.
Do you have
Saturn?
One?
Yeah. I have a Saturn.
You have a Saturn?
Yeah.
That's great.
I can't find anything I want to play on it.
It's a terrible system.
Don't say that out loud. There are people who really like the Saturn.
You know,
they are listening to this podcast. I, for one, think the Saturn is the greatest system ever. I don't really think that the Saturn is the greatest system ever. But I'm looking for things to play. So if you've got your recommendation, it's at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. I can't find anything that I want to play.
A friend had a game called, I think, Mr. Bones.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, no.
I remember it being pretty fun.
Clockwork, all those games look bad now. They just look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of good-looking Sega Saturn games anymore. Like Clockwork Knight was another one that was like a big one back in the day. And it just does not look good. So I found my Sega Saturn at a yard sale for $20 with 8 games. And the games are not that good.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, and back to Mega Man, though. So I had Mega Man X growing up, and then we were talking about earlier, I had the GameCube anthology that came out of the Mega Man games, and I think we played it at some point, and we played a whole bunch in one night, and I was never really that great at those games. I remember back in the day beating Mega Man X, but not being, for some reason, good at the 8-bit games, for whatever reason. I was always thought that the 16-bit games were more forgiving.
They're kind of not intuitive at all.
I would agree with you, man. Like, even as hard as a lot of 16-bit games were, it just seemed to get a little easier with every new generation of games. Mm-hmm. Like, playing Horizon Zero Dawn, like, yeah, it's challenging, but
you can just pretty much
tell you where to go and what to do, and it's all pretty cut and dry.
Right.
Like, it's not, doesn't leave a lot of guesswork.
Right.
Which the Mega Man games did, because depending on who you choose and where you go, it makes your quest a lot easier.
Or harder. Yeah.
Yeah, or harder.
And then with Mega Man X, you have to find your pieces of armor throughout all the levels.
Yeah. So, shout out to, not like the Lost Mega Man game, and I'm sure there were more, but did you guys ever play DuckTales
for
Nintendo?
Yeah.
Built on the Mega Man engine.
Was it?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah. DuckTales, like, you have, you know, Scrooge has the bouncy shtick. But other than that, the gameplay is pretty much exactly like Mega Man was.
Yeah, jumping and all that.
Those short jumps.
The way that the levels are built, like, you go up, you go left, you go right.
So that actually brings up a good point. One of the reasons why, so it's interesting if you... As we dive into this list, we've done a whole bunch of Nintendo games. I've done a whole bunch of research. Originally, the Nintendo, the Famicom, which is the Japanese Nintendo, when it first came out, games couldn't be like Mega Man 2. So games could only have a single screen, or they could go left or right. What Mega Man did was the innovation that happened over the course of the interceding years after Famicom came out and as it developed and matured, they included more chips on the cartridge that allowed you to go up and down in games. So now you had the ability to go both left and right and up and down. So that was like an innovation, and you don't really think about it. But in Mega Man, for example, Mega Man 2, there are sections where you go left and right. But then when you go up and down, there will be like a load. It will stop, and then we'll go to the section that goes up and down.
Oh, yeah. Flashman's level blew my mind as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going straight down as quick as possible.
Yeah, that game, that was...
I know that strategy.
Didn't left and right do that, too? Didn't have the same mechanic?
It did sometimes, but that's like
the swipe screen?
Yeah, that's like loading a new area, essentially. Like Legend of Zelda, if you think about it that way.
Yeah, so...
Left and right, up and down.
Are you telling me that Mega Man did not have that?
Left, right, no, up, it down. Does. It does. I
okay.
think.
But so the Mega Man series.
Yeah,
was
it's
like
the Mega Man series. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I don't even think it was they innovated that, but it was like a different. It needed a chip in order to do that. And another big innovation was that Super Mario Brothers 3 allowed you to go diagonal.
Mm.
And that was another big innovation that you don't think about, that games just didn't do that back in the day.
Earthbound's all diagonal. Well, can't walk straight in that game.
Well, you get Super Nintendo, and that's where you go from there. But this game released in June of 1989 in the U.S., December of 88 in Japan. It actually came out really close to each other. The name of the director is Akira Kitamura, who also worked on Section Z, the original Mega Man, Legendary Wings, and Willow. The producer of this game, his name is Tokaru Fujiwara, and he is an important person at Capcom. because he is the guy who made Ghosts and Goblins. He also made Bionic Commando. And he would also go on to make two very important games. One was called Sweet Home, which was a horror game on the Nintendo that never came out here because they thought it was too graphic.
Awesome.
And he then went on after that, he used the basis for that game to make Resident Evil.
Oh, shit. Oh. Can you find Sweet Home online?
You definitely can.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm actually, I want to do that this year, that game, on this podcast. It's a Nintendo game. And it's more like an RPG than it is. It's an RPG-y horror game.
I'm down.
Yeah. And you can find English versions of that. It's been translated. So Tokuro Fujiwara was the producer on this. Around the same time that this came out, let's see what came out. Zelda 2 came out in December of 88. This game comes out in June of 1989. Super Mario Brothers 3 would come out in February of 1990. So kind of like the 6-month span, just to give you kind of a time frame there.
Quickly, you mentioned Willow.
Yeah.
You guys ever played that?
Yeah.
For NES?
Yeah, it's like Zelda.
No,
Zelda-y.
No, I never played it.
That game is pretty cool, man. It's like a Zelda clone? RPG.
Is it based on the movie Willow?
Yeah.
It's based on the movie Willow, yeah.
It's made by Capcom, though, and Capcom always made pretty good games.
Had a fantastic soundtrack, too. I used to, I cut a ton of clips from the soundtrack of that game.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Just because they're fantastic.
You had so little to work with.
Yeah. You know? Exactly, but it, like, when you compare it with, like, beats and other music, mm-hmm. just those like, 8-bit notes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. They strung some melodies together. Some symphonies.
But yeah, so this game builds upon what they did with Mega Man, which was essentially making a combination of what the producer said, director has said, is that he was trying to make a combination of Super Mario Brothers and Ghosts and Goblins. So Ghosts and Goblins is a really fucking hard game, but you throw and it's like an action game. You have a spear or you have a weapon, and you platform a little bit. And then they wanted to make it more accessible, like Super Mario Brothers. So they did that with this game. It's kind of one of the reasons why this game is a little bit easier than Ghosts and Goblins. They want to make it so that more people can play it and enjoy it.
Do you remember that time in the 80s when everyone was like, dude, that's Mega? Remember when people said Mega?
No.
Like it meant really cool. Like rad.
No, I don't remember that. That must have been an upstate New York thing.
Nah, I don't really have memories.
Remember
of the
saying
80s.
Bad a lot. Like, that's so bad.
Yeah, that's right. You do say bad a lot.
That's so bad.
It's so bad.
That's so Mega. You guys didn't have that?
No, Mega?
No, I didn't either. Would have been cool though, right?
Mega.
Can that trend?
Mega?
Bro, that's Mega.
No.
No?
All right. Man.
You can't just invent words.
Oh, yeah, I invented Mega.
Well, usage of words.
All right. Why not?
Yeah, you could be like, that's Mega, man.
Two.
Exactly, you get it. See, Mike gets it. That's Mega Man.
So I was reading about Mega Man and the design of Mega Man, and the guy who designed the look of Mega Man, his name's Keiji Inafune. You might know his name because recently he put out a game called Mighty Number 9 that flopped the shit.
Did it?
It was terrible.
Free on PlayStation.
Yeah,
last month.
Yeah, or like a couple months ago, something like that. It was supposedly the comeback of Mega Man, and people did not like that game. Yeah. I haven't played it, but
the comeback of Mega Man. What's that game? What's it? What is it?
The art looks exactly like a Mega Man game.
Right, but
it's called Mighty Number 9.
But it's supposedly the game is not very good.
That's kind of important.
Yes, it's important to have your game be playable and well as well. But from what I read is he got the original design of Mega Man from a show in Japan called Ninja Captor, which is essentially the same genre that Super Sentai is. Do you guys know in Kamen Rider? Do you guys know what Super Sentai is?
I haven't heard of it.
No.
The action parts of Super Sentai are what they use for Power Rangers. So the reason why the reason why Power Rangers looks different when they go from the scenes that they film at the school to the battle scenes is they ripped all those scenes out of this Japanese show called Super Sentai. And so, yes, you look like your mind is blown.
Completely. So they never even shoot those scenes?
No. They just took them from a Japanese show called Super Sentai.
Those actors had it easy.
Super Sentai had been going on since like the late 70s or early 80s, so they have a lot of stuff to work with.
With the villains and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So it's all just straight rips. I think like the only thing that they didn't rip is like Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd. Those were stuff that they filmed that was new.
Okay.
But everything else was ripped from the Japanese show Super Sentai.
Zorg?
Zorg?
Is that his name? Zorg?
Zordon?
Zordon! Thank you.
No, he was he was from there. And so was the guy who talks like this.
From the from Super...
No, he was from Power Rangers.
Oh, okay.
I don't forget what that guy's name is, but he talks like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... Power Rangers is like a little bit too... I was a little bit too old for Power Rangers.
I only watched it because it was on right after X-Men.
Oh, good reason, though.
It was a good show.
They had that little, I think it was X-Men 11 a.m. Saturday, followed immediately by Power Rangers.
I remember being in elementary school and Power Rangers was on, and I thought I was too old for Power Rangers. Because I was like in fourth or fifth grade, I think.
I think that's the prime age.
Maybe. You know? I thought it was more skewed towards a younger audience, like first grade, kindergarten.
Oh, but at the time. A fourth and fifth grader can get their parents to force them to go see that movie they came out with in theaters.
Yeah, it's true.
They start that film by skyboarding, I think. Remember skyboarding?
No.
Yo, Tommy skyboards. Yeah, he does. Higher Ground by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Do you know Tommy is a pro wrestler now? He's becoming a pro wrestler.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. The Green Ranger.
Did you know that the
with the whistle that he used to blow in the
that's
dragon.
Amazing.
But we're off topic here. We're off topic, but
so off topic.
But they got their design from Ninja Captor, so he kind of looks like a Power Ranger. Is what I'm trying to say is a Mega Man. If you really think about it, kind of looks like a Power Ranger. But yeah, so they were putting out this game was developed in 3 months. 3 months it took them to develop this game.
Wow.
This game, Mega Man 1, kind of flopped, and they begged the team to continue making Mega Man 2, and they eventually would put it out. And they would put out a Mega Man game after this video game every year to a year and a half. They put out a Mega Man game up until, I think it was Mega Man 7 or Mega Man 8. Yeah, it was up until Mega Man 8. The first 8 Mega Man were put out. 87, 88, 90, 91, 92, 93, 95, 96. How crazy is that? Putting out games at that clip. That's like Madden level clip.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about them too that much for them to be coming out at that velocity.
Yeah, I mean, they had like big ones like Mega Man X when that first came out. People were like, oh shit, it's a revamp of Mega Man.
What year was Mega Man 4?
Mega Man 4 had to be like 90 or 90. So actually, it was 1990.
1990.
Yeah, because this game was in 88 in Japan.
Like 6, 7 or 90. When I got that.
Yeah, so yeah. 90, 91.
When did the last game come out for NES?
The last game was Wario Woods, and I think that was 94 for NES.
Oh, so a few of those were for Super Nintendo before Mega Man X came out.
Yeah, so 1 through 6 came out on Nintendo, 7 came out on Super Nintendo, and 8 came out on PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
So... but yes, they were putting out games at a clip. This clip, have you guys seen the cover art for this game?
I was just going to ask, do you think that is a substantial factor in why the first one
flopped?
Bombed? I mean, yeah.
The first cover art was terrible.
The first cover art?
Yeah.
No, I'm very familiar with the second.
But in the second. They're the basically...
Second,
yeah.
Second got better.
It has nothing to do with the game, though.
Costume is blue and yellow.
Yes.
It's not in the game.
I actually saw an interview with the guy who made the art for Mega Man, the original Mega Man cartridge, And he was like, they didn't tell me anything about this game. They just were like, this is what happened. He has a gun.
Yeah, great. He kind of looks like he's taking a dump.
In his hand, yeah.
I mean, it just looks really bad. The art looks really bad.
Don't make sense. And then we'll just look at two.
Top right. Oh, there you go. He also has a gun in Mega Man 2. Box art.
Like, it looks way more accurate, but... He still is like a very muscular, tall guy.
He's a fully formed man. Yeah. Mega Man is not a fully formed man. He's like a robot dude.
Never saw him that way.
So, and then when he goes into 3 and 4, it gets better.
Yeah, it gets more accurate.
But, so did you know that they put out a novelization of this game? And on the cover of the novelization of this game, they got rid of the gun for some reason.
So it's just him taking a dump.
No, on the
side. Oh, Mega Man 2. Okay, gotcha. He's still kind of just taking a dump.
But doesn't he have an arm cannon? That's why the gun always confused me.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, it's a problem.
So wait, there's like thumbs and ammo?
Yes.
You guys have seen those, right?
No, I haven't.
Thumbs and ammo.
Thumbs and ammo?
No, what's that?
All right, so Google thumbs and ammo. But some dude took like screenshots from all the best action movies like Terminator 2, Rambo, Predator, Die Hard, and where the hero has a gun, he photoshopped in them like with thumbs up. So John McClane is like, just like thumbs up with his machine gun face.
I like it.
Yada yada. That's fantastic. Check it out. It's good. When I have to send memes at work, I usually go to thumbs and ammo.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. So let's talk about the gameplay for a little bit. And I think the one I was thinking while I was playing this earlier today, I think the big differentiator for why this game's so well regarded for a Nintendo game is it's a solidly built game. It is very well put together. It has a beginning, it has an end, there are bosses that you fight, it's challenging. If you haven't played it before, it's challenging. If you played it a couple times, not very challenging. But what I'll say is that it's very forgiving. And when I say that, what I mean is that as you play the game, there are things that you do that mitigate the difficulty. Some of the things that you do to mitigate the difficulty are like the energy tank that you can get. So you get basically another life without having a life is the energy tank.
Very confusing if you've never played the game before. I mean, there wasn't really I don't remember an instruction manual that came with it.
Well, I mean, your copy fell off the truck, so yeah, but did come with an instruction manual.
Did it? I just had like a little 16 holder, copies, right? You know? I had like it almost looked like a mini shelf to fit all your games in. You know?
Yeah. I remember this vaguely. Somebody was like on Twitter was talking about accessories that they had growing up. I had something that looked like a Star Trek shuttle to hold my games. It was pretty crazy. It had like a gate that rolled. And you could pull it up and you could put your Nintendo games in it.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty dope.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Sounds pretty cool.
I was 6 when I got that game. I don't know if I was getting deep in the instructions at that point.
Yeah, true. I didn't read any instruction manuals when I was a kid, except for ice hockey. Strangely remember ice hockey's instruction manual. Like one game that you don't need instructions for. I totally remember.
Mike, what's the best book you've ever read? Like, oh, instruction manual for ice hockey. For the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, it definitely describes that strategy.
Cool.
But yeah, so you can get an energy tank, and basically it's another life, but it's not a life. I don't know, but it's makes the game a little bit easier. There's passwords in this one. In Mega Man 1, there's not passwords. So you can essentially save your progress. And in this one, there's two. They introduce concepts to make it easier for you to traverse the levels. So I was talking to you, Luke, earlier today, where you're like, fuck the disappearing block level.
Heat Man.
Oh, yeah. And those levels suck.
It's life-changing.
But you know what you can do? You can play through every level before that, and you get the platform, the jet, and the wall climber, and completely get around those areas. You don't have to do those areas whatsoever.
I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I'm not going to start now.
So I was playing through today, and you reminded me about the Heat Man level, and I was like, you know, I'm going to wait for that one to be the last level. And then that whole disappearing block part that is super fucking frustrating, you just go to number 2, the jet, you ride it the entire course of the level, and you skip over the whole thing.
You just chill. Or you can develop your skills in preparation for Dr. Wily's
castle.
You can
get good, son.
I try, but you made that game just suck, Mike. You just made it terrible right there.
Just because you couldn't figure it out?
Yeah. I mean, stupid. I was like 12.
Yeah.
Figured out the blocks.
I couldn't figure out games at all back in the day. I've talked about this in the podcast. I didn't beat a game until Super Nintendo generation. I had a lot of Nintendo games.
Dude, I can't think of many Nintendo games that I actually like beat.
I was too young for it. I think I was like seven or eight.
It took a day. Like, unless you had a save capability like Zelda, like it took your whole day.
But even Zelda, it would take longer.
It would take longer, so at least you could like spread your days out. But
gosh, yeah. I didn't beat Super Mario Bros. Until I was in college.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't either. My freshman year in college, I had my Nintendo up there, and I definitely beat Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, and a couple other ones that I never beat before. And like in Super Mario Brothers 3, I got pretty far when I was younger. I remember getting to World 8. But like in college, I went straight through without like warps at one point.
Yeah, I think the only game I beat as a kid was Blades of Steel. Just one game.
Just one game with the guy who's raising his arm up. Yeah. Those were good. But yeah, so this game, it mitigates difficulty by providing you with a lot of things. There's also the ability in this game, as opposed to other games, where you can farm for health and you can farm for lives, which like
that
they
was new.
They could do that in Metroid, right? So
yeah.
You could do it in Metroid. So it was around, but that definitely mitigates the risk or mitigates the difficulty. I, at the time when I was playing this game back in the day, I didn't know to do that.
No, me neither.
But you can definitely do that. You can get like a million lives if you just spend 10 minutes killing some bad guys if you wanted to.
A million lives?
Not a million.
Can you really get like extra lives?
Yeah, you can get extra lives. Yeah. Like those screws that come out of the ground and come from the ceiling at one point. It's like perfect spot to grind. But yeah, you can grind. This game has the first game in the Mega Man series to have 8 robot masters. Mega Man 1 had 6.
Yeah.
You have Metal Man, Air Man, Bubble Man, Quick Man, Crash Man, Flash Man, Heat Man, and Wood Man. And as we said, Heat Man is a Zippo lighter. Who are you guys' favorite robot master in this game?
Heat Man, yo.
Just because of the disappearing
just box? Satisfying just to like, get there.
I want that masochism.
Just satisfying.
Give it to me.
I also, you know me. But reading about this game earlier, there's apparently a hack or a cheat in, I guess it's more of a hack in the Heat Man level. But like if you have Bubble Lead and you do some attack with Bubble Lead and then time getting hit with Heat Man's flame when you like hit the gate, then it will warp you right to Wily's castle.
Weird. What? Weird glitch. That's a glitch.
Yeah.
Weird. I was actually watching a speed run. The speed run record for this is 26:32 right now. So 26 minutes and 32 seconds. What they do a lot of the time, they can wrap the screen. So you can like glitch into a block on the top using platforms or something. And you go from one end of a room all the way down to the other end of the room. And that's how they can glitch through stuff in this game. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. You like glitch through blocks that puts you at the end of a screen as opposed to the beginning.
Interesting. Huh. Christy, Encore's wife, he's been on here before, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Her younger brother is actually a Mega Man 2 speedrunner.
Shut up.
That's
really?
His claim to fame. Yeah. I really want to see this dude play.
Weird.
Yeah, it's been his jam.
That's awesome. Does he go on Twitch?
He must. I don't know.
To talk
he
to
must, right?
To talk to Encore about that when he's on next time.
Blow this up.
He's been on a bunch of episodes. There's also, we were talking about earlier, the energy beams in Quick Man stage. That was a very cool concept.
It was very cool.
For a Nintendo game to do something like that was very interesting. It was very different. The energy beams that you have to drop down levels. Mm-hmm.
I like Crash Man's level.
Yeah,
that one, I've never seen anything like that as a kid. You know, where the birds are, the eggs are exploding, and you're just constantly falling down ladders. And, I don't know.
That was terrible. I hate that one. Super frustrating.
It was very frustrating, but I was amazed by it every time.
It's not as frustrating as blocks if you don't have the upgrades, but yes.
Yeah, that
so what's your quick fix for Flash Man?
Which one's Flashman?
The one you just mentioned with the
zing. That one, the quick fix is if you have the Flashman, I think it is. Not Flashman, because that's his... Flashman. So Quickman's level is the level with the energy beams.
Okay.
If you have Flashman's ability, it freezes time.
Shit, I remember that. All right.
So if you have Flashman's ability, you don't hit the energy beams.
Yep.
So that's another thing this game does. It's like interesting things like that. If you have an ability and you go into a level, it not only harms the boss, but it can also get you through the level a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the certain things. And they do that throughout. Even Crash Man, too. If you have Crash Man's weapon, you can break obstacles that are in the game. So some of the obstacles, like there's obstacles in Heat Man's level that you, if you don't have the upgrades for your suit where you can make platforms or jets, you have to do, you can use Crash Man to get around some of those areas. It's another thing. And you can also use Crash Man's ability to get upgrades like energy tanks and lives in some areas.
That's frustrating when you're playing through and you didn't know about that. And because once you beat that level, you're like, oh, I just found out what these things do. I can never go back when you play unless you want to, if you go out of order.
Can you go back? I don't know if you can.
You can't go back.
You can't? It's not in this one?
To a world you beat?
Yeah.
I mean?
Because in like Mega Man X, you can. I don't know about Mega Man 2.
Go to Black Square.
Okay. But yeah, so Quick Man, really cool things. I just want to say one thing about Bubble Man. First off, Bubble Man is a terrible robot master. Mm-hmm. First off, he makes bubbles. The only use for him is, actually, there's a couple uses for him. But
I love bubbles, Mike.
If you enter that stage, holy epilepsy, Bubble Man. Because that waterfall at the very beginning, it's like, I'm gonna have a seizure. Yes, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's real bad.
Get a little twangy on that one?
Yeah. A little
your south came
twangy.
Out.
Got a little twangy. But yes, Bubble Man sucks. And just in general, Bubble Man sucks. But he is the way you beat Wily at the end.
Might be one of my, I think, the most fun levels to play. Is Bubble Man's level.
Oh, because it's super easy. The water and the spikes.
Yeah, it's very unique. You know, those little robotic frogs that shoot out baby frogs. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I will say also, weirdly, I don't know if this happens in other Mega Man games, but Quick Man is the guy who has the boomerang shot, right? I think he's the guy that you get the boomerang shot from. He is weak to the Mega Man gun. I think it's the lamest shit ever.
Gun's pretty strong.
So was he
supposed to be first?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so it's dumb. Like, I was playing it today, and I was like, this is just stupid. Why is this like this? Mega Man gun, that was stupid. But we were talking also about, so after you beat the Robot Masters, you go to Wily stages, and I think there's 6 different Wily stages after you beat the Robot Masters, and they all have interesting bosses. One of them is the Mecha Dragon, who has an epically cool sprite. It's a really cool idea for how it's graphically created. It's very iconic for Nintendo. And Joe, you never could get past that when you were a child, a young wee lad.
I mean, I got to the Mecha Dragon, I think, in like 45 minutes the other day. Beat all the other, 8 bosses. And yeah, still to this day, apparently. And I'm going to blame it on as you get your cadence going, just like in Heat Man's level, when you're bouncing on the blocks, jumping from block to block, when the dragon pops up, the screen skips.
Yeah.
And pauses for a second, totally ruins your cadence, and when you're done, you're done.
So one of the things too, I think I've mentioned this in other podcasts, but you couldn't make a sprite that big on the Nintendo. So how they did it is you're not actually shooting the dragon. You're shooting a square on the dragon that's sprite, where you have to shoot him. The dragon is the background when it's drawn in. because they and it just moves with the screen because it can't move otherwise because it's so big for a Nintendo, because there's limitations of the hardware, which is, again, interesting stuff. So other things like that are in this game. There are really cool art design on some of these things, like the fish with the lore in the Bubble Man stage. He has a very iconic design. The fire cat that they call Frender, I guess, I looked it up, in the Woodman stage is another one that's too big that they have to make into the background. Another one is the giant Gutsman tank. Gutsman from the original Mega Man makes a reappearance later on in the Wily stages as a giant tank. It was pretty cool. He was in the Mega Man cartoon. Do you guys remember the Mega Man cartoon?
Barely.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was one of the Robo Masters in that. But yeah, I liked the Mega Man, the Mecha Dragon. I thought it was pretty cool because you get into, it's almost, some of the parts of this game is almost like a rhythm game.
Yeah.
So you have to like get it on the time. So when I play this game, a lot of the times with other games, I'll be like tap, 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 tap. This game, I'll like have a deliberate press and like draw my thumb back with a lot of the jumps that you make in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that they designed it that way. I don't know if they designed it that way, but I thought it was interesting.
So on that note, have you beaten the disappearing blocks in the Heat Man level?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I've beaten it in the, I think in Mega Man 1, there's a disappearing block level stage I've beaten. But why? Why would I do that?
It's so satisfying when you do.
So satisfying.
It just seems unnecessary, because it's like, just get on the jet, and you just jet across.
Look at his sweater. The guy in that sweater would say that.
Yeah, so you play through 6 different Wily stages. You get to the boss rush, which is the iconic thing that the Mega Man games do. And as you have the weapons, they're fucking super easy in this game to get through the boss rush. Because the weapons will just murder people. It's not like other games. In other Mega Man games, I feel like there's still a little bit of challenge if you have one of their weapons. But there are some weapons, like if you have Woodman's weapon, it only takes 2 hits to kill the Airman.
Yep.
So it's like super, super easy to get through all those guys. But I think Wily, when you fight him, his original form is pretty hard. He's in like a big ship. And then he like comes at you sideways. And then when you beat him, there's like another version of him that you have to beat, which is him in a UFO. It's supposedly originally he morphs into a alien and you're led to believe he's an alien. But then if you beat the alien, he turns and it's just Wily behind the scenes as Oz in The Wizard of Oz controlling the alien. And that's the end of the game.
Classic.
That's where we are. And yes, the useless Bubble Man, he is useful in the last Dr. Wily section. You will kill the alien Dr. Wily with like 3 hits with Bubble Lance. Yeah. Bubble Lead. But yeah, that's where we are. So I've beaten this game. I've beaten the third game. I've beaten a couple X games. But this is one of my favorite. I love Mega Man 2. I love Mega Man X as well. But Mega Man 2 is just a really great game. It's one of, I think, one of the best Nintendo games. So, as we say this, we have to talk a little bit about the legacy of this game. So, we have all played Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Have you played Super Smash Bros.? Have you, Joe?
No, the new one that just
came out. You played 4, though.
I did.
And you've played Brawl.
Yeah.
Mega Man is in those games. All his moves come from Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
So every one of his moves. So he has the Crash Bomber, he has the Metal Blades, and he has the Wood Leaves. Those are all Mega Man 2 abilities.
Makes sense.
In Smash Bros. Ultimate. They use this game, too, as a basis, pretty much. This game and the first game as a basis for 9 and 10. So they made 9 and 10 in basically the same way. They just made it super fucking hard in 9 and 10.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if you had, like, Dash or Charge. Maybe you earned it?
I don't think so.
No?
9 and 10.
Wow.
And then, you know, there's about 100 different games on the Nintendo that owe a debt to this game for how it's designed. One of the things that the director said about this game is how he designed this game is that one of the things he wanted to focus on was the placement of the enemies. So if you played his previous games, this guy who made this game, he also made Ghosts and Goblins. Ghosts and Goblins, the enemies came up everywhere. So at the very, very start, zombies will just randomly appear at the ground. This game, he deliberately made where they spawn and where they come up. And that's one of the innovations that's in this game. And that's how he used that to guide the player, show them how to play the game, and to also make them continue to play the game. So, for example, he said that if a bunch of enemies came towards you, at the first you'd get one of the enemies so you understood what the enemy was and you could take care of it. And then you would get a hit, like two or three of the enemies. But as the enemies faded away, you would only get one again, so you felt good about that encounter. Because the two and three might overwhelm you and you might take damage. But then you could handle the one guy at the end. So he specifically made this game so that the enemies came at certain points and it wasn't ridiculously challenging for the player to the point where it was absurd just because random enemies were spawning all over the place.
I do appreciate that, you know. Once you, if you're digging deep, you know, there's certain things you can rely on, you know, as you're kind of chewing through it. And
right. I mean, it's all you can rely on where things come up. So there are other, there are a million games on Nintendo where you cannot do that because everything's random.
What about Metroid?
That might be things
they're pretty reliable.
Right.
Right.
I think you can, those are similar in that regard where the enemies are placed. Placement was a big deal, so they made that was one of the factors that made this game good. And I think it was just the level design is very good. So as we talk about that, we have a thing that we do here. We talk about games, and the reason we talk about games is so that we can add them to our endless list of games. And right now we have 17 games on our list, ranging from The Legend of Zelda all the way down to John Madden Football 93, and everything in between. We have games ranging from Nintendo to Super Nintendo to N64 to PC games to games that came out recently and other games. But we have a list in front of us. You can find our list. There's a link. There will be a link in the podcast description that goes to the complete list. I won't say it now because there's so many games, but you can find it within the podcast description. But I want to ask you guys, this list is judged by gameplay. It's judged by graphics for the time. So how the graphics look at the time. Also, what the influence of the game is. So keeping that in mind, where do you guys think this game sits on our list of games?
I'm personally going to say between River City Ransom and Tecmo Super Bowl.
So you want to put it at a new 6?
I'm thinking a new 6 right there. Taking those into account.
What about you, Luke?
So I am slow on the Cuphead train, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy it a lot.
Yes.
But I would put it just below Metroid.
Let you guys know where my head is at this. I was having a debate as to whether or not it goes anywhere from, I think it goes below GoldenEye. I don't think it's above The Legend of Zelda, because I think Legend of Zelda is a very important game. And I also think GoldenEye, for what it is a very important game. I also think Metroid's a very important game. But I could make an argument for this game to be as important as Metroid. So I think it goes... I think it goes above River City Ransom because it's a better game and more influential than River City Ransom, personally. I think it should go at... I think just given... just given the average of what we've all said, I think it should go at a new number 4, below Metroid and above Cuphead.
You know, I'm late to the Cuphead game as well.
You are.
I own it.
Feel good.
Yeah, I'm like 30 minutes deep in it, and I just keep going back 30 minutes. So
I mean, about there.
Yeah, you know, I would totally agree with that.
All right, so we're going to... That's good. I mean, unless you guys want to talk about it some more, we can.
So, like, as far as the list goes... And you mentioned the merit that it's based on.
Yes.
Did you include legacy in that?
Yeah, so influence. All right,
so legacy and influence. Like, Metroid gave way to Super Metroid.
Gave way to a million different Metroidvania games that are coming out now. Yeah.
Axiom Verge.
Right.
But I love Metroid.
And Mega Man.
That's my shit.
And Mega Man is... There were games that were similar to Mega Man at the time. There were action platform games. It made it the genre really good that people could copy it.
Yeah.
And it's very influential in that regard. But all action platformers don't descend from Mega Man 2 and in the way that pretty much all Metroidvanias descend from Metroid because it's named Metroidvania. So.
That's true. I'm surprised you put the gameplay above River City Ransom in terms of influence. I don't know. I just really love the game River City Ransom. I didn't play that until I was in college as well.
Yeah, I think like River City Ransom is not as well known. It's definitely not as well known as Mega Man 2.
Oh, it's definitely not as well known in terms of popularity. No. Yeah,
and I think also just the gameplay that's in Mega Man 2 stands up.
It does.
Like Mega Man 2 is a solid ass game. It's not too hard. It's not like ridiculously Nintendo hard. Like Ninja Gaiden is in its spot at number 13. Probably because it's so fucking hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it would probably go higher if it wasn't as ridiculously hard as it was, because it's a very, very good game. But it's just so fucking ridiculous that it has to go there. River City Ransom is another game that's very good. It's very influential. It brought a lot of things. Like, you can trace the lineage of Yakuza games. They made 6 or 7 of those games now. They are... basically River City Ransom with 3D graphics. There are a ton of games that do that. There's brawlers, like the list of brawler games and beat 'em ups come a lot from Double Dragon and River City Ransom and those games, Renegade as well.
Yeah, I guess Double Dragon was another core game growing up. Yeah, and that game was so hard, you know.
And I like when we get into an episode where we talk about Double Dragon, it'll be difficult for me to place that on the list. Because I don't know if I should place that above River City Ransom because it's more influential. But River City Ransom is a better game.
So it's a much better game.
It'll be tough.
These are the tough questions in life, Mike.
Right. So
you gotta dig in. So I think
we're good here with this one. We're gonna put Mega Man 2 at number 4 on our list of games. Above Cuphead but below Metroid on our list.
Alright.
And we've added a new game to the list. I'm glad you guys feel satisfied. I'm glad we could come to that conclusion. This is the first Mega Man game. Did you guys play Mega Man 11?
No. How recent is that?
It just came out last year.
Really?
Yeah, it's for Switch, PS4, Xbox One, PC, I think, everything. But yeah, that game's... It's like more... Graphically, it looks like a modern game. It looks like a... It's got that hand-drawn art style like Cuphead has almost, but not... I don't think as good as Cuphead's graphic style. And it has like a different system. There's like a gear system in the game. And what it allows you to do is you can like slow down time to make jumps or shoot enemies and get the upper hand on guys. And you can combine the Robot Master's abilities with that gear system to do some interesting things in the game. And I guess the Robot Masters have phases now where they're just not just the first... guy. Like once you beat him one, he turns into like a bigger guy, or there'll be different aspects to his fights.
That's cool.
Yeah, I haven't actually played it yet, but it's definitely on the list of things to play.
Do you guys play Mega Man 10? Just kind of revived the
I played
and beat 9 and 10. They were grueling.
They were fucking hard. Is I played 9
I felt it was that was Wii. That was like 10 years ago at this point.
Wow.
I forget exactly try when to beat out, one but...
Try to beat one. Go back to one and try to beat it. One is hard.
That's a difficult game.
Yeah.
So just quickly, potentially like a post-credit scene, but in regards to like the Metroidvania thing, Blaster Master? Did you guys play Blaster Master?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Never beat it, but played it.
Very unique in like the side-scrolling slash like 3D kind of... Hotline Miami.
That game is a...
Binding type view.
Yeah, I would say more, at that point, probably Ikari Warrior style.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That angle.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, top down. Yeah. Fester's Quest. Same developer.
We're going to do an episode on Fester's Quest, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost beat Fester's Quest in my house one time. You got so far.
Oh, man. My balls were so deep in Fester, but pluck, pluck, they came out.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah. But Fester's Quest is made by the same people who made Blaster Master.
Oh, shit.
This is the exact same game, top
yeah.
down.
Yeah, right. So, well, a portion
yeah,
of
right,
Blasphemy.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It has been just about an hour, and we are doing this. You can find the podcast on iTunes and Google Play. You can follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod, ITSSOBADPOD on Twitter. You can also you can email us if you'd like. It's so bad pod at gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. And I want to give a big thank you to Dos Chiquini Jr. for providing the music for this episode. But thank you guys so much. We'll do this again.
Thank you, Mike.
Perfect. Thanks, Meg.
You're beautiful.